This morning's title for the sermon, Facebook and Jesus. Maybe you never thought you would see that title. And I have another. I was kind of going back and forth between these two titles, between that one and this. I just Facebooked, Instagram, tweeted, pinned, and texted all my friends. But what did I actually say? And I will talk about social media today. And how we use that as Christians. As I talk about social networking, social media, and Facebook, I will mention Facebook many times, and that kind of applies to a number of different methods or mediums. But understand, if this isn't something that you do, if you're not on Twitter, it's okay. All right. If you don't have a Facebook account, that's all right. And this sermon is still for you. Because the idea is whatever we say, whatever we do that other people see, how does it impact them? How are we doing that as a Christian? What's the effect? And so please don't tune out just because you don't care about Facebook. But the idea is that, you know, anything can be used for God's glory or Satan's glory. And don't think Satan doesn't have his hand in every part of your life. And everything that we do. And so I have five things for us to notice and remember and keep in mind regarding using social media for God's glory. And the first one is pretty simple. Just to remember that, hey, God reads what we put on social media. You know, God reads what I text my friends. I mean, He doesn't literally read it. He knows it before I even do it. But God hears everything I say. He hears everything I do. And I think sometimes as Christians, if we thought about that, we might say things a little different. Proverbs 15:2 says, "The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." It's interesting, you see this term, this word gushes. The mouth of the fool gushes folly. And we see that in social media. If you don't even use social media, I bet you watch the news. And when you're watching the news, you know about once a week, some famous person gets in trouble because something they tweeted. It's almost always a tweet because that's kind of the most instant way to get something out to your following. And an athlete or an actor or a politician, for sure, will evidently in the heat of a moment being angry or frustrated or emotional, they will send something out, and then here comes the damage control. I apologize to all those that I offended. I really didn't mean this or that or the other. And yet, all these years before, there's a proverb that says, "The mouth of the fool gushes folly." And the idea is, it's me acting on emotion, strong emotion. If I'm angry, that's probably not the best time for me to update my Facebook status, to be quite honest, right? It's probably not the best time for me to tweet if I'm angry, because I'm probably not going to put something truly Christ-like out there. And I'm not saying that emotion is bad. Our emotions are our greatest strengths in certain scenarios. When we worship God, I think our emotions are our greatest strength, our greatest asset to offering God from our heart. It's not that the mind checks out. We worship in spirit and in truth. The mind's engaged, but my heart, my emotions, when we need to have compassion for others or empathy, emotions are our strength. So emotions aren't a weakness and they're not bad, but when it comes to what we say, it can be. If I'm frustrated, irritated, hurt, jealous, envious, angry, I can gush foolishness. And God sees that. Number two, don't fall prey to the temptation to compromise holiness for the sake of hilariousness. Now, I like things that are funny. I like comedy. I always have. There are certain comedians that I just find incredibly hilarious. One is Cat Williams. I know a few of you know who I'm talking about. Okay? Comedian. Just everything he says makes me laugh. But I have to find a show that a movie that he's in that's PG-13, or I have to find a movie that's been edited for TV to listen to him, because anything of his that's unedited, where it's really his comedy show, is so foul as a Christian, I can't do it. And I shouldn't do it. But we are tempted to say things, engage in things. We are tempted to be a part of things that are funny, and it has a little bit of, well, this might not quite be the most Christ-like thing here. It might be a cuss word. It might be profanity. It might be an abbreviation. It might be WTF. It may be a Facebook image from a Facebook page that has WTF as a part of its title. And I may want to share it because the picture is really funny. And then there's a verse that comes to mind. Ephesians 5:3 says, "Among you there must not even be a hint." And that really sets the tone for everything that comes after. A hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure. And notice this, he just mentioned coarse joking, which is a dirty joke or a joke that's really not Christ-like, okay? Which, to be honest, I think a lot of you might agree with me that on the one hand seems pretty minor, right? If we're talking about sins or infractions before God Almighty, a joke that's a little off color, that sounds minor to me, but look at what follows. "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Now, we might look at these things, and for sure our American society today would say, this talk here that says, you know, no obscenity, no foolish talk, no coarse joking, folks, that's old-fashioned, isn't it? That's old-fashioned on TV. It's old-fashioned in music. It's even old-fashioned in our school system. And it may be old-fashioned in our church. And that's scary. Because you call God old-fashioned or new-fashioned, whatever you want to call Him, but God's not laughing. It's serious. To be holy is serious to God. It doesn't mean being perfect, but it does mean being set apart. And I'll tell you, as I've grown in my maturity, I'm not perfect. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm getting to the place where I can discard things that are entertaining because there's some hint of obscenity in it. You see what I mean? There are a lot of, I love music, and there are so many songs that musically I love. I mean love. But there's obscenity in it. There's ungodliness in it. And God says, don't mix. Don't take something that's 99% great, but it has WTF on the title, and go with it, because there's a hint of that. And LMAO, even OMG seems pretty minor, because you might say, well, that means gosh to me. Now, some would argue that gosh is as bad as taking the Lord's name in vain, because it's a euphemism for it. I'm not even going that far. I'm just saying, trust me, 90% of your friends, if they see OMG, they're not saying gosh. People don't realize to say, oh my God, and if you're not talking to God, you're taking His name in vain, and that is terribly offensive to God Almighty. And so this sermon is a reminder. Now this isn't, I didn't read anyone's, you know, Facebook status this week and decide, oh, it's time, we got to have a sermon on this. Don't think that. But the church, not just us, but the church needs to be reminded of this passage, don't we? Number three, our posts have the power to either build up or tear down. And Romans 12:14 says, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse." Now think about that. That was written over 2,000 years ago. But when I'm angry and I put something on Facebook out of my anger, even if I don't name the person I'm angry at, in that moment, they're kind of an enemy to me. And Scripture says, bless them. Don't curse them. Well, I didn't use a curse word. That's not the idea. Don't talk bad about them. You've heard the statement, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. There may not be a more biblical statement than that. It's not book, chapter, verse. It's not quoting Scripture, but it matches Scripture. If we don't have anything good to say, we need to not say it. Resist the temptation to blast people on social media, even if it's anonymous. First of all, oftentimes, there is a person that you're blasting and they know. They saw it. You didn't name them, but you're calling them out and they saw it and they've been called out. And that's not godly and it's not Christ-like. It is like Satan, and that he is tempting us and he works on all of us. Then sometimes, I've seen this, have you ever seen an occasion where someone, they're kind of calling someone out on Facebook and someone else thinks it's about them and oh my, they're hurt. And come to find out it wasn't even about them. And so you have that taking place. There are all kinds of things as a result when we gush folly. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only... And here's if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What's interesting about social media is 50 years ago, if a person was angry, they might vent to four or five or six people in a group. You put something on your Facebook status now where you're venting, it goes out to 500. 1,000? I don't know. Depends on how many friends you have. Twitter? How many followers do we have? That's the amazing thing about social media, is it impacts so many more than our comments before. But the bottom line is, when I'm angry, I don't want to bless. Do you? I mean, when I'm angry, I don't want to compliment someone. I don't want to speak nice about someone. But we find Jesus doing that on the cross when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." And we find a little bit later, the first Christian martyr, Stephen, he does that. He essentially echoes what Jesus said when he's being stoned to death, "Father, forgive them." I want to share something. I hesitate to share it, and you'll know why. But there, about a month ago, we had a beautiful day. The weather was nice, and Sydney and Abby wanted to go ride their bikes. And I let them ride their bikes a little bit. We don't live on the best street for that, safety-wise. And I am a parent that is, I know I'm overprotective. I understand that. But anyway, I decided, okay, it's a beautiful day. I'll let you ride to, we'll ride up to the school, and I'll just follow you in the car. I'll just follow you up to the school, and I'll park there and play at the school, ride your bikes, whatever. So I'm following along, going to the school, and it's going kind of slow going. I see a couple neighbors in their yard, and I'm behind them. I mean, I don't follow them in front of them. I'm behind them. And it dawns on me as I'm driving, following them up to the school, it dawns on me that, you know, this doesn't really look good. Right? A strange guy in a car watching these two young girls ride their bike. And I follow them all the way up to the school, and I park, and they're on the playground. And I'm doing my listening to the radio and playing on my phone, and I hear someone talking. And I turn around, and I see a Sand Springs police officer right here by the car. And the first thing out of my mouth is, "Huh, someone called on me, didn't they?" And so he, of course, explains, you know, and he's asking about the girls, and I explained, you know, that they're my daughters. And I know as soon as I do, it's his job. He can't say, okay, sir, have a nice day. He's got to go check that out. And so he does, and I look in the mirror, and there's two Sand Springs police cars behind me, right? Because one is not enough for a guy like me. And so anyway, I sit there, and I'm, you know, in one respect, I'm calm because I know I've not done anything wrong. Everything's on the up and up. But you may not be like me, but when red, white, and blue, or the lights, whatever color they are, red and blue, when they're flashing, I'm nervous. Guilty or not. They weren't flashing, but just the whole, with the police, I have the deepest respect and the deepest fear. I want to share what I put on Facebook, not because this isn't Elliot. Truthfully, I think God and His Spirit helped me in this moment just because this isn't my instinct. I'll just be honest. But I did find it humorous once it was all over. And I am a part of it's called Sand Springs Gossip. Okay, and it's just people, things happening in Sand Springs, not really gossip in the sinful sense. But, you know, there's... Am I okay now that we're laughing? Who else is a member of the Sand Springs Gossip page on Facebook? Raise your hands! Okay. Anyway, I find out about wrecks. I found out about a wreck before you did. But I want to read... this is what I put on there. If anyone saw a strange man in a red Mustang following two young girls on their bikes to Pratt School today... And by the way, this was about a week after Pratt sent out a message to all parents about a white car. There really was a white suspicious, you know, car in activity. Mine was red. Don't be alarmed. Granted, I was, as I looked up behind me to see two Sand Springs police cars. You guessed it, I'm the weird man and the girls are my daughters. I must admit, I'm glad fellow Sandites are concerned enough to call, and the police officer was professional, courteous, and apologetic once he confirmed why I was watching them. To be honest, I was a little irritated because someone had called on me and I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was a little irritated because the police came and questioned me and I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was a little irritated because there were two police cars, not one. Like one wasn't enough. I was a little embarrassed. But I think God guided me in that moment because I remember having the thought, you know, Elliot, you can put something tacky on here about, you know, Sand Springs police have nothing better to do, or you can put something complimentary. And he was courteous, and he was apologetic, and he was doing his job. And you see what I mean? My point is, when we put things on Facebook or Twitter or whatever we say, we have the opportunity to build people up or tear them down. It's our choice. Number four, each post, and this is really sobering, but each post is a statement of what a Christian is. In Titus chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy to do all these things that are good and right, and then at the end he says, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. If those who oppose us and don't want anything to do with Christianity and think we're a bunch of fakes and hypocrites, if they wanted to say bad about us, could they? If they had access to all of our Facebook posts and our tweets and really everything we say, how much could they find to say bad about us? Through social media, we can either lead people closer to Christ or push them further away. And there's a really good verse in Colossians that says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. We have opportunities in everything we say and everything we do. Even if it's, and I realize Facebook is, in my opinion, at its essence, it is for you to share your life with your friends. And that doesn't always have to be, it doesn't always have to end with, you know, God is good. But we have an opportunity every time we say something, every time we do something that people watch, we have an opportunity to lead someone closer to Christ. Verse 6 says, let your conversation be always, always full of grace, seasoned with salt. There are, as a part of our goals and our opportunities, we have goals to bring more into class and worship and bring more to Christ, to salvation, increase our involvement in our community. We'd like to lead 14 souls at least to Christ this year. This is a part of what we're trying to do. I want to close by lifting up one example of a person in our congregation. Tammy Hobson, I want to just kind of briefly make a couple comments. Tammy Hobson has been through some trials. I won't go into details about that. But I'm about to highlight someone, and don't think that this is someone that, well, God just gave her an easy life, because He hasn't. She's been through trials. She's had tough times. And some of you know about that very well. And I've seen her, even in those struggles, she didn't turn away from God and she didn't turn away from her church. And she kept fighting and she kept fighting. And she is an example of a person that she doesn't have a perfect life. Like, it's not like she doesn't have things that she could complain about. But I just want to put up, from her Facebook page, this is three posts of hers that I didn't cherry pick three good ones. These are just three together. And you start from the bottom if we go in order. Oh my goodness, those silly gas people have raised the gas again, 319. Now, when gas goes up, nobody likes it. Nobody that I know of, okay? I mean, that's not a good thing. But there are different ways we can talk about gas going up, right? And she does it in a godly way, really. The next post, good night, sweet friends and family members. Good night, yucky headache. God bless and sweet dreams. She could say, great, another headache. That's just what I need, as if I didn't have enough trouble. Then she says, good morning, Tuesday, and headache on the top of my head that isn't too bad, but I know you are there. But that is okay. The Aleve will take care of you. Have a great day to all my friends, and God bless you. I've just been noticing. When I see Tammy's posts, I just notice more and more, and I'm really amazed. This is a person who could vent. This is a person who could say, goodness, you know, you see what I mean? And complain. But she is positive, 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 positive. And it shines. It stands out. It is a great example of a godly woman. And I'm proud of her. I'm proud she's a part of this church family. And to close with this verse, Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Not everything you say or every post has to have God in it. But what we do needs to shine. It needs to be an example of what a Christian is. And we need to take advantage of the opportunities we have. We're going to sing a song of encouragement this morning. And there may be something on your heart that you want us to go to God on your behalf. There may be one this morning here that needs to have your sins washed away. And so if there's something we can do for you this morning, please come while we stand and sing. Boundless love.
Jesus, my Lord, is you.